Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Any mention of winter is coming in this forecast is brought to you by Game of Thrones, Season 8, not until 2019. That's ridiculous. All right, Tony, I'm expecting a warm start to the month of December. Look for temperatures like in the 50s on December 1st.
That's today. That's today.
It is?
Yes, I mean, yes.
The first week of December.
Well, he wrote this
week.
Already
this forecast is 100%.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
It's always great when Kevin does the winter forecast, which he makes up the night before. And sometimes it even comes
on
true.
The fly.
We are at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest at Chatter in the capital of the United States of America.
Chatter.
Gary Braun is here. Chris Eliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is going to run the board, do the news. Wilbon will join us later. Paul Feinbaum will join us later as well. We've got a whole bunch of people here from a whole bunch of places, including a couple of guys from Canada, one from Toronto, and one from Montreal, who brought us maple syrup. And the great thing about the can is that on one side it's in English and on one side it's in French. It's fantastic.
I don't get
it. People from the Naval Academy are here, and they are... You can cheer yourselves. There's a birthday boy there. Navy Sports Medicine.
What does
Navy
it say
is
in the
happy.
Back?
Hold on a second. Navy is happy because they're in a bowl game. They play Virginia in a bowl game. What?
Question on the maple syrup, because this is in a, what do you call this, a tin can?
It's in a tin can.
A 16-ounce tin can. So you open it, I guess, old-fashioned style with like a can opener with a little pry top. But then,
well, wait. What's the new fashion way to open a can?
Just rip it off.
Don't you just
I just take
use
a bite.
Teeth?
Normally, I just take a bite out of
it.
Oh, yeah.
Screw top.
But it is a liquid pound of maple syrup. So then do you just leave, honest question
no,
for the Canadian
No, you just use it all.
Wait, come up here.
Do you just leave
Canadian
the
guys.
Syrup in the tin can?
Want to get another container.
Another
okay,
container.
Decant
right.
it.
Okay.
Understood.
Great.
Thank you very much.
I just pour it all right on the pancakes. So you need about that much. Tone, what does the Navy shirt say on the back?
The Navy shirt says...
says something on the back there.
Because we give a ship.
We give a ship.
Oh.
Which is funny. Yeah.
See what they did there?
Oh, I don't totally get it.
By the way, didn't we learn from the movie Argo that it's pronounced Toronto?
Toronto. There's no second
That's
T.
Right, no second
Correct.
T.
Yeah, Toronto is how it's pronounced. Did I pronounce it Toronto?
I think so.
Okay, well, you know, I'm an American. I got it.
Have you been to Toronto?
I have been to Toronto.
I love
I've
it.
Covered,
it's a great
I
city.
Have covered hockey games in Toronto.
What?
I stayed at the Royal York Hotel in Toronto, which was an A-plus
hotel. Is that like
a hotel.
Two bathrooms?
Like
the
a
only,
plus?
It was one of the, is the first hotel I ever went to. And I was, this is 40 years ago now. It's the first hotel I ever went to where the towel bar was heated.
Ooh, nice.
So that your towels
Ooh, I like that.
Arrived hot.
That's, well, this
okay?
is not
so
the you want to be
That was classy. Been to Montreal, been to Toronto, been to Halifax.
Great strip joints in Montreal, right?
Didn't go to any of those.
See, I tried. He didn't take the bait.
Way to
trick
him.
Didn't go to any of those.
Tone, heated floor there? In the bathroom?
I just remember the heated towel
heated
bar.
Heated floors where I want to
very, very luxurious and thick towels. To mention, so you'll know that we are in the right day of doing this show, the moon last night, the total full moon last night was beautiful, gigantic
Incredible.
And very, very bright. This morning as I walked the dog at 5 o'clock, I'd hoped to see the moon, but the moon was occluded by haze. It was not... You could see it, but it wasn't at the strength that it was last night. This will happen again the
Saturday,
next two full
also
moons.
Spectacular. Saturday night
yes,
was also
Saturday
yes,
was
yes,
huge.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So go if it's out tonight and you can see it, and I don't know why you can't see it, go see it. The big news, and we're going to dwell on this, I think, the big news is it's Alabama, not Ohio State. I mean, there's a lot of NFL to get to, but it's Alabama, not Ohio State. So let me take this opportunity to ask the people here. I spent yesterday, I went to play golf at Columbia with my son, and I got a lot of questions in the early hours because that was released at noon. They had the show at noon. What do you think is going to happen? And I said Ohio State. Time after time after time
I'm
after
shocked.
Time, I
really?
Said Ohio State would get in, not
but
Alabama.
You are the one who has always said, I think correctly, pointed out that first and foremost, this is a TV show.
That's right. Yes.
And given that, I'm completely floored that you would think it would
Alabama,
be Ohio State.
Alabama-Clemson.
I mean, as soon as Clemson secured one.
Well, let me answer that. Because now what you have is three Southern teams.
Yeah.
You don't have geographic distribution at all. You're not bringing in the upper Midwest, which is snowed in ridiculously in that time period and does nothing but watch football. That was why, in terms of a television show, that is exactly why I thought it was not going to be Alabama, because you had Georgia and you had Clemson for that constituency.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Okay, I mean, I thought given the
and
success,
I thought people hated Nick Saban.
Well, they certainly do. They love
Urban Meyer,
too.
But they loved him.
But they loved him. So on the heels of the success of consecutive Alabama-Clemson games, I figured they would say, well let's not ride that out. Not to mention the fact that I think you can fairly make...
Alabama, one-loss team.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a terrible
loss. And ranked number one...
Losing to Iowa by
30. For several weeks in a row, weren't they?
Oh, all season long.
Yeah.
The whole season until they lost to Auburn.
Very interesting stuff. Man, the ESPN show is really good on that.
It is. It's really good.
And I forget if it was Galloway or Palmer. One of them made the point that Alabama, and we've talked about this with 40 throughout the season, that they were suffering terribly from injuries defensively, particularly with the linebacking corps.
And now they'll get healthy.
And they said they have missed 39 starts due to injury at linebacker this season, and 37 of those starts will be back in time for this. So you're going to have a fully healthy, presumably different-looking Alabama defense.
I mean, it's coin flip to me, but I thought it'd be Ohio State. What did you think?
I just thought TV plus pedigree.
So you
thought there are very few programs in the country where Ohio State loses out on pedigree. I mean, there's maybe two or three, maybe. Alabama is one. I mean, they have consistently been the best team one of a handful of the best teams and have performed that way in the college football playoff. I hate it, although... It's a real battle for last between Alabama and Ohio State. I mean, chestiest fans ever.
Yeah.
But, miserable I just assumed Alabama.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Unhappy people.
They're nasty.
But I just assumed Alabama. Yeah.
So isn't the committee getting exactly what they want by having this discussion for this entire week?
Sure. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yes.
So I made the mistake of trusting a TV personality, and so I thought Ohio State was going to be be that fourth team in.
At TV people are
But you bring up the idea that this is basically a TV series, that this is all about those eyes, and if you actually think about the regional distribution, can't you control enough of that through the other bowl games so that you actually get the overall net viewership, so it doesn't matter if they're not watching
good
the
point.
Semifinal game.
I mean, Ohio State people are going to watch wherever Ohio State goes, the Michigan people. I mean,
Ohio State is playing USC in the Cotton Bowl, I believe, on the 29th.
I think if you look at the sort of the population and you look at the history, that the Big Ten is shut out completely.
Yeah.
The Big Ten champion is shut out
Big
completely.
Big Ten, Pac-10.
I thought would be impactful. So we'll talk about that with Feinbaum, obviously. We'll talk about it with
Wilbon. Also be interesting, I don't know historically the ratings for that game, but like the Super Bowl, for instance, it's the Super Bowl. Like the matchup
people watch
is inconsequential. And I wonder if the national championship is at that point.
It gets the second highest number of the year to the Super Bowl.
I assume if you're the Ohio State.
It gets a higher number than the NFC and AFC finals.
I think if you're the Ohio State fans, you hate watch it anyway, rooting that Alabama gets blowed out. You know what I mean? I would assume you would do that.
Probably. Okay, in the NFL, consequential things happen. Seattle beats Philadelphia and resuscitates itself in the NFC as Atlanta loses to Minnesota. That's a big game. Minnesota beating Atlanta in Atlanta is a big game. Baltimore beats Detroit, resuscitates itself
in
the AFC as Kansas City loses to the Jets.
Terrible.
Six out of seven games, Kansas City has lost. New Orleans beats Carolina. That is a consequential game.
And Andy Reid benched himself in that KC game, you know, right? Andy Reid did not call the plays for Kansas City. He handed over the play
calling.
Well,
they scored enough points to win.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, they
Alex
did.
Smith, who everybody hates. Alex Smith threw four touchdown passes. That's enough points to win. New England, of course, wins. Case Keenum and Josh McCown continue to have terrific seasons. What stands out in the NFL?
The Minnesota game stood out to me, and all of a sudden Minnesota is now the best in terms of ranking, the number one seed in all of the NFC.
Are they ahead of Philadelphia at this
point? They are currently, based on strength of schedule, which I think is the fourth tiebreaker. I mean, that to go on the road to Atlanta would look like a resurgent Atlanta team. Not only beat them, but shut them down.
I thought that was resurgence.
That one definitely jumped out at me. We'll get to this later. The Gronk cheap shot.
No, we'll get to that.
Jumped out at me. I mean,
what about the wins or the losses?
I thought the Patriots. I mean, I know. I just remember how we were talking about how they had one of the historically worst defenses through half the season.
The first five games, they allowed a history-making 300 yards at least to every single quarterback. No, Some of them are terrible.
They're playing the Bills, and Tyrod Taylor got hurt. I mean, I understand all that, but suddenly their defense, not just this week, but suddenly their defense is good. And again, they have to be considered, I would think, the favorite to again make the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just at what point? It's sort of like Popovich and Duncan. Like, as long as the two of those guys were together and operating at something near full capacity, not full capacity, but something near full capacity, you just kind of penciled them in. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, that's right. The turnaround of that defense, I mean, it's hardly a headline to me. Oh, given time, Belichick figured it out defensively.
A defensive coach, right. I mean, yeah, it's just amazing. I just think we have a tendency to presume greatness there. And I mean, that the run they are on currently with Belichick and Brady, you know, we're going to look back on it.
I find Seattle and Baltimore interesting because they are veteran playoff teams. Baltimore didn't make it last year, but Baltimore won a Super Bowl recently.
Yep.
And they get better as it gets colder.
Well,
as they get
that
wins. Russell Wilson is overlooked. Russell Wilson is magic.
He was
out
great
there.
Last night.
He's great.
Yep.
That win gives them a pretty clear path to the wild card or to the playoffs in general, just because if you looked at
I don't think they can catch the Rams.
Right. They're one game behind the Rams. They beat them head to head and they play them again in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So one of their odd difficulties would have been overcoming the Redskins had the Redskins been in that position to get to 10-6 as well.
Yep. Yes. Good one. Yes. Redskins are not
too soon.
Are they still in the league?
They're not in any conversation. So I think Seattle and Baltimore, I think that's intriguing.
And I don't.
Rams do continue to win. Now, the Rams didn't play anybody great yesterday, but the Rams do continue
to win. I don't knock the Eagles back a bunch of notches. I think you're entitled to go there and lose that game.
Well, if Wentz doesn't fumble that ball,
and
that's an entirely different game.
And they went
they get a touchdown.
They went for a couple of fourth downs deep in Seattle territory that would have been easy field goals. That game would have had a
different complexion. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're on the road here and there. But I just think that Seattle is a team that has proven itself over some long period of time to know what it's doing.
One other I might mention is New Orleans at home beating Carolina. New Orleans now
beating them significantly.
Yeah, pretty soundly.
Yeah.
And they've got a very successful stretch going. And a weird one, you know, doing it without Drew Brees throwing 350 yards and three touchdowns.
How do I pronounce his name?
Kamara? Kamara.
Alvin Kamara?
Kamara.
Third round pick.
So, Kamara.
Where
is he from?
Why was he not better at tennis? I don't understand. Like, why do we not hear about
great.
Him? He's just breaking tackles left and right.
He's great.
Slashing for 30 yards.
Yeah. Now, the monkey lost that game, but he won his other two, right?
2-1 for the monkey.
We're going to discuss all the ramifications tomorrow when we have a different show that is not so fully packed with the junk that we talk
about.
How
about that San Francisco game? Whew, barn burner.
Well, you know what?
I mean, Garoppolo won.
Jimmy
15-14.
Wilbon. We're going to have Wilbon next.
Just unwatchable game.
Well, Wilbon is.
Oh, he was tweeting. He was tweeting about it.
Yeah. Jacked up. So outside, we'll stop here. We'll get to Michael Wilbon when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a new ad. This is a company new to this show called Honey.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Do you want to save money while shopping online for last-minute holiday gifts? Then let me tell you about an online shopping hack from a startup that I recently discovered called Honey. Now, I didn't discover this at all. I don't know anything about it, but Michael does, because it asks for the mandatory personal endorsement. How does this work?
So this is a browser extension. You are going to download this and whatever browser you use. So I use Chrome.
Because
I will add this to my Chrome. And then when I'm doing any of my online shopping, it's going to do the heavy lifting for me. It's going to find coupons, promos. So instead of doing the old trick, which is opening about 15 tabs, so 15 extra windows as you're trying to find that best deal and price compare, this will do it for you.
So it
also adds to Amazon. So the biggest thing is you can find things that are automatically on Amazon Prime.
So this is
shipping.
A shopper benefit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's a shopper benefit. Okay. Honey is a free browser extension. And of course, it was founded by two friends. I mean, everything's founded by two ordinary guys and friends who are frustrated by the lack of price transparency from online shopping. So they started Honey to help others find the best possible prices online. It's a browser extension, as Michael says. It's available on Chrome, Firefox, and Safari, things I've never heard of, that effortlessly saves you time and money while shopping online at tens of thousands of stores. While you shop, Honey will instantly find every working coupon code on the internet and then automatically apply the best discount to your card at checkout. Time magazine calls it, quote, basically free money. Honey will show you if you can get the same item for less from a different seller, automatically factoring in all the variables, such as item price, shipping cost, prime status, and more, so you always get the right price. Why wouldn't you get this?
Yeah, I just, by the way, in terms of ease of use, just while Michael was talking, I downloaded and added it to my Chrome. So you that's know, how long it takes.
Okay, Black Friday and Cyber Monday may be over, but you can still save money this Christmas with Honey. Honey has already saved over hundreds of millions of dollars for over 6 million members. It's completely free to join. It will literally take you only two clicks to start saving money, as Chris can attest.
Celesta actually did it in one click because he's so smart.
Well, join Honey today for free at joinhoney.com/TonyK. That's joinhoney.com/TonyK.
Oh, Celesta, you did it so fast you didn't get the code in.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Blair St. Amand in Elkridge, Maryland. He writes, it's a sampling of my college band Spork's musical prowess. We made it into the studio a couple of times. In case you never picked up copies because they were never made available anywhere, you have my permission to play these songs on the podcast as you see fit. In terms of critical commentary, I'd like to say the name was about a fusion of musical styles. But really, we came up with the name Spork after realizing what we were using to eat at Taco Bell all the time. Think outside the bun, indeed. The song is called Satiate. We're very happy to have it. And it plays in Michael Wilbon. A million things to talk about with Wilbon. But from a personal standpoint, no game, I don't think, could have given Wilbon more mixed emotions, but sort of great joy in a perverse way, because he's come to hate the Chicago Bears, than the Bears against the 49ers, right?
Yes. Yes, Tony. You know, look, people get cut in football. That's the business, especially when you've been around 10, 11 years, as a certain kicker had been in Chicago, the all-time leading scorer. And this is not for the Seattle Seahawks that came into existence in 1976. No, this is for a team that's been around since 1919. And it just, Robbie Gould not only is the all-time kicker, he's just a great guy. He's one of those people that you want to represent your franchise. And I got to know him a little bit, you know, just over the years. And so when Gould got cut, he'd had a bad patch. And you could say, okay, maybe I could see this if they draft somebody or they go out and get somebody. But they didn't do that. They cut Robbie Gould for a guy that they had previous experience with. And this is a new coach and a new GM.
Right.
John Fox and this guy Ryan Pace. They go out and get, you know, this guy who missed wide right by 25 yards a couple weeks ago. You remember the kick you made fun of him?
Connor Barth, ridiculous kick.
I don't even want to say his name. I can't say Connor Barth.
Hurts too much.
And so Robbie Gould comes back to Chicago for the first time. And he's playing with an awful team, with a quarterback making his first start for that team. And they score 15 points. And guess how they get all 15 of those points?
I'm just going to take a shot that Robbie Gould got them all.
Five field goals. Five to five.
Yeah.
And by the way, since the Bears and this guy Ryan Pace, whose name I don't want to say either, the GM, who literally I blame for everything. Whatever there is, I blame him for it, Ryan Pace. 40-year-old GM. Might not even be 40 yet. Robbie Gould is 36 of 38.
That's good.
In the NFL since the Bears cut him. 36 of 38. The Bears have missed 7 field goals this year. Robbie Gould, 36 of 38 in the 2 years since they cut him. So I even texted him yesterday, and he knows what a lunatic Bears fan I am. And I just said, congratulations. This is an awesome day for you and for the rest of us who can't stand this team right now.
So you must give Ryan Pace a lot of credit for trading up to get Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, a lot of credit for that.
Yeah,
102 yards passing yesterday.
Well,
like that.
Wilbon, he did throw 15 total passes.
Yeah, 102 yards passing. In the meantime, the king of the other side, and everybody's going, is the savior for the 49ers, he's from Chicago.
Garoppolo is?
Garoppolo, yeah. Garoppolo's a native son. Garoppolo's a local boy. Yeah, local boy made good, yeah.
All right, so let me get to a couple of things that actually do matter in the greater standings. And the first one, and there are teams that I have trouble believing in. There are two teams I'm going to list right away that I have trouble believing in. Because in one case, and I use that word advisedly, I don't really trust the quarterback. And in the other case, I trust the quarterback, but I don't really trust the defense.
So and these team and the New Orleans Saints?
Minnesota and New Orleans, and they continue to win.
They do.
I mean, you know, maybe I need to stop my prejudices against
them. Look, people like to say in sports, which is the single dumbest thing in sports, well, I don't have anything to prove. No, moron. You have something to prove every day. That's the point of sports, to prove it. That's what, you know, one of the many things I love about, you know, guys like Michael Jordan. Jordan says, no, I'm going to prove something today. I'm going to kill you. That is the basic attitude. And so I believe in that. And so you have something to prove every day. Prove it to me. Well, I believe in that coach's adage that you win first and you get good later. And I think we've gotten to the point where the Rams, the Vikings,
The Saints,
they've won. They've won. Now they're actually getting good. They seem like they're going to go out there and beat just about everybody.
Well, the Minnesota thing is particularly impressive because it's in Atlanta, and Matty Ice and Julio Jones had collaborated the game before for 1 million yards and 1 million touchdowns, and at home, Atlanta got 9 points. And Minnesota, their head coach, Mike Zimmer, he's a defensive guy.
Yeah, their defense is great. So we saw that. We knew that last week. They shut down the Rams, didn't they, last week?
They're good.
Yeah, so they've beaten the Rams, and they've now beaten the Rams. They beat them at home, and they went down to Atlanta and won an important game. And so you keep looking at them, and yeah, Case Keenum, he does well enough. He's not Goff right now. I mean, Goff goes out. Goff can obliterate you. He and their passing game and their offense in general can just crush you. They can embarrass you. And so the Rams, Tony, they've won. They've won enough now.
Yes.
We're in week 13. Yes. So the patterns are set. We know what they're not trends anymore. This is the season that we have. And so, yeah, I'm done. I was done doubting them a couple of weeks ago. But you got to do it. You got to do it for double-digit weeks before I'm ready to say,
well, New Orleans is doing it with running. Yeah. And New Orleans' defense is holding on. Case Keenum statistically is very good. Still the most, I would say the most surprising. I don't know if it's the most surprising. Kansas City continues to lose. I mean, their quarterback, who I know you love.
I love him.
He had 4 touchdowns. That's enough to win. Yeah. 31 points is enough to win.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that game yesterday.
Did you watch the end of that game where they had 100 penalties?
Yeah. And they had so many penalties, and they just couldn't stop the Jets either. And that's a phrase you don't want to have.
Right.
If the phrase is you couldn't stop, they just couldn't stop the Jets, then, you know, they got problems. Andy Reid gave a play calling yesterday and gave it to his coordinator. That worked. They went out and got 2 touchdowns, it seems, in like 5 snaps. But then the Jets were right there, 14-14. So, you know, they got issues, and they don't seem to be able to get them solved.
Josh McCown, who is a guy that I thought we'd seen enough of, Josh McCown's having a great year for the Jets.
Well, Josh McCown, Tony, is just one of those quarterbacks that nobody believes in. He's Case Keenum, just a few years older. I mean, the Bears, rather than play Josh McCown, who was leading into the playoffs.
Right.
That Canadian professor guy, I forget his name.
Mark Trestman.
They decided to put Cutler back in and then pay him $120 million.
Yeah.
So everywhere, you know, people just look at him as the placeholder for some glamour puss who's going to be drafted or traded for or signed as a free agent. And I guess he's not quite good enough.
Well, he's...
But every time he gets in there, he doesn't go out there and embarrass himself on these stops along the way in the league. And I know there have been plenty of them.
He's got to have a good year. Full disclosure, I called Wilbon last night during the late round of games, and I said, Alabama? Because I thought it would be Ohio State. We're talking about this at great length today. And you said to me, I always thought it would be Alabama, which surprised
me. Well, I said for 2 weeks on your show, if we lose, if we, the Big Ten, if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State, we're not getting in. So, I thought it would be somebody else. It happened to be Alabama because they only had one loss.
That's right.
But that, Tony, there are things you could, this is easily one of those things you can argue either way if you pay enough attention to college football all season, and both of us are pretty fanatical about it. Look, Ohio State, who I wanted to get in, Ohio State had a crushing loss by 31
yes.
at Iowa. Okay? A team that I think Northwestern had beaten the week before. Tony, no team that had made the Final Four, and I know the history is not that deep and rich and long, but no team that has made that group in these 4 or 5 years had ever lost by more than like 14.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, probably. That's probably true.
31.
Yeah.
And you know, I know that this is not lifetime achievement. You don't consider the resume of the team over time. But maybe it sticks in some minds that Ohio State had just been obliterated the last two times it was in this thing. I mean, just crushed. You know, and so but the 31-point loss to Iowa, the committee chairman came right out and said it after in the selection show situation and said that was a big deal. And I understand that. And I thought that was going to be a big deal going in. It was a bigger deal than even I thought. And you got a bunch of coaches in that room, and they sit there and they watch tape. You know, this is not a media panel or ex-players who don't – this is coaches.
Yeah.
They're watching tape. They have decided that Alabama's a better team. And it almost came down to no matter what Ohio State did yesterday, they weren't getting in, or Saturday.
So this is what is interesting to me, and I bring this up because you are a Big Ten guy. This is the second year in a row that the Big Ten champion is not in the playoffs. Now, this is I believe the SEC is the best football conference, but I absolutely believe the Big Ten is second. Ahead of the Big 12, ahead of the Pac-10, ahead of the ACC – the Big Ten, to me, is closer to first than it is to third. And for the second year in a row, the Big Ten champion's not in this thing. What do you make of that?
Well, boy, I'm not as angry about it as Jim Delaney. I don't, you know, I believe him when he said, we're not looking at conference. Again, Tony, they're coaches.
Right.
They're not looking at conference. They're looking at who they think the four teams are. I can make the case for Alabama over Ohio State, period. Wisconsin lost. And the committee didn't think much of Wisconsin all year because they never had them ranked in the top four until the last week.
That's right.
This is not about this isn't about conference in that way, in the selection. I believe them. And, you know, college football in this country is about the South to a great many people.
Three Southern schools, Mike.
Four Southern schools.
Will you consider Oklahoma a Southern
of
school? I would consider it a Western school.
Southwest. Is it a slave state?
Oklahoma, I don't know.
School.
I didn't even know it was in there.
I know Oklahoma's the South.
Okay.
Okay, Oklahoma's the South. So they got their fourth Southern schools in. And people, I think...
Does that help TV viewers? I don't think it does. I don't.
Maybe, but again, the people in that room, Tony, they're not TV executives. They're
right.
coaches. With a couple of exceptions. I think Condi Rice is still in the room. And I think Steve Weber from USA Today... is still in the room. So, but the coaches. And they're not looking at any of that. So I don't even think it dawns on them. It doesn't. They're not marketers in there. If there were marketers in there, it might look very different. I thought, if you want to talk about resumes, I thought Southern Cal's resume was every bit as good as Ohio State's and Alabama's, and I might have put Southern Cal in.
Notre Dame killed them. And then Notre Dame fell off at the end of the year so badly.
Alabama got outplayed 2 weeks in a row. And they got popped in the mouth by Auburn.
They did.
And they got popped by Mississippi State, which is never
they won the game,
forceful enough or smart enough, it seems, to finish anything. A game, meaning. And so Alabama got outplayed 2 weeks in a row in its conference. It didn't even win a division in its conference.
Did not.
So it didn't win the conference or the division.
No.
So, I mean, again, I can make the case for Ohio State.
I would have.
But I know that the 31 points is hard to swallow. 31-point loss at Iowa. And you know what? Here's my problem with Ohio State, Tony. They went out and laid an egg twice. Twice they were favored to win. They should have won, and they did not.
You're right. All right. I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls.
So you're convinced?
Well, no, I'm not convinced, but I mean, it's not going to work. The argument's not going to work. Yeah. We have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron ad. It is not cold yet, by Thursday in the Northeast, it's going to be real cold.
It wasn't warm this morning.
It was chilly. I had frost.
I understand. I had frost, but it's not cold yet. It's not cold enough that when you sit down and the sun has gone down by 5 o'clock, you say, what's for dinner? Let's get Blue Apron. Let's make it.
Full on brew.
Let's make it. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season. It's designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week. Customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what best fits their schedule. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. I enjoy doing this. A lot of people who do it, I'm not saying you have to do it every night, but a lot of people enjoy it. You hang around with, you know, if you cook by yourself, fine. But if you have people there, everybody has a certain shared responsibility. I think it's sort of fun.
What does Chessie do?
Chessie guards the door in case people are trying to serve
the baby. Taste tester.
Bootsy's there.
Tries to eat Bootsy at some point. Blue Apron is treating the listeners to this podcast to their first dinner. This is a treat. It's a $30 value if you visit blueapron.com/TonyK. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, it is a better way to cook.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter, Lexington, Kentucky, who writes, I haven't sent in new content in a bit. Here are a couple of more tunes from this past spring's The Treehouse EP, Equilibrium in Words. Play them whenever you want. If you'd like to hear some of my sound, my SoundCloud is here, and it's soundcloud.com/Brandon-S-Bowker, period. So you can do that. Is it hyphen? Is hyphen the right thing to say on the internet?
Dash?
Dash.
Yeah,
I mean, hyphen. Everyone knows what a hyphen is.
Do they?
Yeah.
I think so.
Do they know? Does everyone know?
Do you know?
Does everyone know, for example, that we're open for breakfast here at 7 o'clock in the morning?
These good folks do.
A lot of good people here this morning.
Nice crowd. Thank you.
Big old Monday crowd.
Michael, yeah, Monday's usually not a good crowd. Michael, if people want to send in their music,
please email your music into the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. No hyphens necessary.
And what are we selling today?
We still have Bootsy's gift to all for this holiday season. Promo code Bootsy is going to get you a nice discount at Johnny O. So now that it is winter season, take a look at some sweaters.
Did I model Johnny O yesterday?
So can I just brag?
Beautiful picture you
took. Can I brag a little bit? I got to play December golf with my dad. My dad's an 18 handicap. He's not a good 18. He shot in the 70s.
What?
Wow.
He was 2 over on the front nine.
You were dealing.
I'm a scratch golfer. I was 2 over on the front nine.
Oh, my God.
He made a 25-footer on 9 and just turned and looked at me because he knew he tied me.
How does it taste?
He played the par threes in even par. Wow. So,
I did.
And then afterwards, I was...
Let's hear it from me. I was so good.
So I guess in the 70s means 79?
Yeah, 79.
Yeah, that's 79.
Plus
70s.
Nine.
Wow.
Plus 9.
Shot your age.
Is that the best played in how long?
Years. But, I mean, I played really well.
This
now,
is the second time I've seen
you. Gimme putts. I mean, they gave me some things around 4 feet.
Right, but this is frozen golf greens. You can have a 15-footer that rolls by the hole, so that's okay.
Yeah.
And you were hunting birdies
at
that point.
Have you shot in the 70s before?
Yeah. Wow. But only 2 or 3 times. That's and always 79.
Did you, on like a long par 4, hit the 1-iron stinger? Were you that confident?
I will tell you this. On a long par 4, and I had the wind behind me on 18, which is 400-yard par 4, which is long for me. I hit a really good drive. I hit a second shot with a 4-wood. I hit what I thought was the greatest shot I'd ever hit. It bounced at the top of the trap right before the green and went in. And I couldn't hit it any better. Mm. At my age, I just could not have hit it any better. So I was really pretty happy, and I don't want to.
When are you joining the senior tour?
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
Super
bring it up.
Senior.
So I was taking a couple photos with some Johnny O gear that I believe the company is going to send out in an email blast, and I will share this as well. The 8th hole, I'm walking behind Dad. He's got putter in hand. He stares down a 12-footer for birdie. I'm trying to open up my phone. He drains the putt and just looks at me. You get that? You get that? No, Dad. You want to roll
you
it again?
Like
roll
it didn't again. Didn't even tussle your hair. You
was
like
this
that?
On SportsCenter at any point?
No.
What?
No. But it was good.
Should have been.
That's great. Tony,
well, let's follow up that great news with some more good news for you, Dr. Tony.
Nice segue.
That's right. Binghamton now 3-0 at home.
Do we beat Colgate?
76-65, the final.
Beat Colgate.
Some bloke named Bruce. Court. I'm not sure if it's Jack Bruce. Is Ginger Baker and Eric Clapton on this team?
No, they're not.
Well, this bloke, Bruce, had 26 points and 12 rebounds for his fifth double-double on the year. Binghamton now 5-4.
Next Saturday, for those in the local Maryland, D.C. area, Binghamton will be at Loyola, Maryland.
The Greyhounds.
At 4 o'clock. The Hounds at 4 o'clock, and I may very well go to that game.
They play Army in a couple of they host
Army beats us. Army beats us all the time.
Yes.
Army beats us.
Another local team played.
Yeah. Georgetown beat Coppin
State. Oh, that's right. That's right. Georgetown did win.
Boom, eat it, Coppin State. 0-8.
Yeah.
As I texted to Gary, Nigel, and Michael last night, with that game, Georgetown's strength of schedule now ranks 351st out of
351.
Is that right?
You betcha.
They have the weakest schedule
weaker
in the entire country?
Oh, you bet.
Oh, we get Vermont. We get a couple of
pretty good,
teams.
Huh?
You're the worst?
Oh, when you play, every team is 1-6
well,
or 0-7.
You say
0-7.
The worst, I think you could argue the best.
Yeah, good scheduling.
Wow. Winning.
Okay. Back to golf. Tiger Woods
yes.
had a rather triumphant return. He did not win. Ricky Fowler wins the Hero, what's it called? The World
Hero
Challenge.
World Challenge.
Yes, Hero the Hero World Challenge. Challenge. But Tiger finished a share of ninth place and finished with a final round of 4-68.
Tiger was in the 60s three different times. He had a bad day on Saturday. He was in the 60s three different times. Ricky Fowler, one of his comments was he's so happy to see Tiger and happy to beat Tiger. Michael, it seemed that most of the time when we see Tiger, we're not encouraged. This time, it seemed we could be encouraged.
Yes, if you looked at what he was doing yesterday, he was putting a lot of speed into that golf swing, particularly on that back with the driver. We have not seen him drive the ball like that, and this course gives you some wiggle room with that club. But it was great to see him go hard. You saw the recoil after he got to his balanced follow-through. The biggest takeaway I have is he could have taken easier routes to the hole, and he challenged himself. He was playing a tournament within a tournament, and that gets very insider here. But, for example, in the middle of the weekend, early weekend, he chipped off of the green because he couldn't putt around the edge of that surface. That is a really demanding touch shot where you have to control the strike for somebody who showed some chipping and pitching issues on day one. He gave himself that challenging shot and made an easy four-footer for par. But he could have easily putted around that to 8 feet and try and make that putt, which he had been doing. So I think the biggest thing is he was making it harder for himself and responding.
For those of you who don't think he still has a certain amount of length, there is a 336-yard par four. He hit driver, which for years has hit. You hear him curse and he goes left. You know, he puts his club out there because it's nowhere near. He put it past the pin by 5 feet. And a 336-yard hole, so he can hit it. He can still hit it.
I love when they get annoyed when it's like 15 yards to the left.
You know,
it's like the greatest shot I've ever hit.
I don't know. I mean, if you shoot three times in the 60s, you're going to contend in most tournaments. In most. You're not going to win. You're going to contend. So I thought he played really
well. It'll come down to scheduling. We need to see him take a very conservative schedule, particularly into the early part of 2018.
And he has not said where he's going to play next.
No. Not at
and
all.
He loves to play those early California tournaments, which are not good for him right now.
And we explain why you think that's not good.
It's just you have a split tee time. You're going to tee off before 8 a.m. on one of those days. And if you're standing on the bluffs at Torrey Pines with a wind coming at your back and it's 45 degrees, that's not conducive to someone who's had back issues.
Yeah.
And it probably should be pointed out, since we spent so much time talking about the Hero World Challenge, not only did Ricky Fowler win it, he did it shooting 11 under.
61. Charlie Hoffman woke up with a 5-shot lead, and then the truck that is Ricky Fowler went right over his head in a Phil Leotardo move. And that was it. That was it. All right, what else?
Like did melon. Not end well for Phil, did it?
No.
It did not end well.
No. Unless you think a cracked skull is good.
Yeah. As he was saying hello to his grandchildren,
Smushed.
Right? Yeah. Hi, pop-up. Hi, pop-up. And then his head went pop. Yeah. The Geno Smith era for the New York Giants
begins.
We don't know how long it'll last. The Giants lose that game 24-17 against the Raiders. Now, his comments after the game.
To be fair, Rex Ryan, who drafted him and started him, Rex Ryan said, I love the guy. I don't want him playing quarterback for me. And Geno Smith heard that.
Yes.
Geno Smith had what could be considered not a terrible day.
He gave up the ball. He did what he does.
It was not discernibly
worse than any day Eli's had all year.
That's right.
This is what he said. He talks about Coach McAdoo, and I just checked. He has not been fired as
still
of this
Coach
moment.
McAdoo.
Still Coach McAdoo right now.
Well, we don't know when this is going to drop.
So when you're listening to this, he might actually be ex-Coach McAdoo.
Right.
But Geno Smith said, I enjoy playing for him. I want to continue playing for him as long as I can. But I did see one of my ex-coaches say he didn't want me to be his quarterback, and that really upset me, you know? A guy that we saved his job in 2013, we fought for him for both years, and for him to come out and say that just shows up how much of a coward he is.
So he called Rex Ryan a coward.
Yes.
Well,
so there you
no
go.
Mention of the foot fetish.
Giants
though.
Lose, so by the way. Win.
Giants lose. The Giants lose.
They lose.
The Giants.
In the Patriots-Bills game, Rob Gronkowski was having a terrific game. I think he had 147 yards. Not because he didn't have a touchdown, but he was having a terrific game. Late in the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left, there was an interception by Bill.
He was being interfered with. There's no question that he was being
interfered
with.
And when the play is going live, and I was actually watching this live, everybody in the sidelines, hands are up. His hands are up. Where's the flag? Tre'Davious White comes down with the interception.
And he gets the interception. He's laying on the ground.
He's
been touched by one of the other Patriots.
And Gronkowski's laying on the ground, and it should be pointed out, also out of bounds.
Yes. And Gronkowski coming up late on the play, just seconds later, sees him, and then almost you could see the decision in his head. He goes, oh, now I'm going to hit him. And he, like, falls down, elbow first, it appears.
He gave him a little bit of an elbow drop.
Using the left elbow that's always wrapped in the huge, like J.J. Watt, he's got that huge brace.
And that really, I mean, I know that has some impact, but Gronkowski is gigantic.
A six foot seven dude falling on you and you don't expect
on your head.
So, of course, White.
He needs to be suspended for that.
Yes.
Agreed.
That's a suspension.
One game.
What we are seeing in the NFL is fighting. You started with A.J. Green about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Then Michael Crabtree decided, I don't want to play anymore. I am just going after Aqib Talib. I don't care what happens. And they were suspended for two games. It was reduced to one.
Gentlemen, Jim.
You have to suspend Gronkowski.
So you have sent the message that fighting is not allowed. But with those suspensions, and now you have the opportunity, the duty, I would say, to point out that cheap shots are not allowed.
This was not a fight.
This was an absolute cheap shot.
Was let off the field. He looked.
I mean, they could even suspend him for two and reduce it to one, but he's got to be suspended.
I mean, if the dude,
this is Vontaze Burfict. You got to suspend him.
You know what I thought it was, and I forget the name of the player who did it, but this was the body slam of Jim McMahon. I mean, if it was Tom Brady laying on the ground and someone had done that to him,
you'd be expelled. You'd never be back.
Gronkowski did apologize.
He said he was frustration. No, you can't. Yeah. No, you got to be better. Yes. Suspend.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
It's official. Herm Edwards is the new head coach for Arizona State.
Good luck.
Hello. Yes.
Why?
Good luck. We play to win the game. Good luck.
Yes.
Love Herm Edwards.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Has Arizona State ever been good?
Arizona State?
Yeah.
I mean, really good. Back in the Jake the Snake days.
Yeah.
Jake Plummer.
They've been good.
They were pretty good with Osweiler.
Osweiler went there. Yeah.
And Shohei Ohtani has turned down the Yankees and Red Sox.
The Nats.
Those aren't big programs.
Yeah, a lot of teams included in this.
This should not surprise anyone if he ends up with the Giants or the Mariners, where there is a significant Asian population.
But you would think it would be the Mariners at that point so that he can be a DH, right? Because that's the whole thing with him.
Is it all?
So you would think.
Yes, pitch and
I'm
DH.
Surprised that the Athletics are out of this. I mean, he wants to be on the West Coast.
Well, maybe they're not.
He's, according to multiple reports, the Twins, the A's, the Brewers, Pirates, Blue Jays, Diamondbacks, White Sox, Mets, and Tampa are also out.
Eastern teams are out.
Yeah.
And this is just resetting it. This guy's the pitcher.
He's the hitter from Japan.
He's like a 400 hitter for power.
Yeah,
and also 500 throws
foot
at
home runs. And he's a great pitcher. So.
Sid Finch.
Yeah, we'll see what he does.
What else?
We'll see what he does. And, Mr. Tony, I love how you prepared me for this. You said, explain this potential CVS Aetna merger.
What is a CVS? I think most of us, our familiarity with CVS basically goes like this. Is anybody working the counter? Is anybody here?
Why are there 72 people in line in front of me?
Is there anybody in the counter?
No, there's no more.
What?
It's all self-checkout there now. Yeah. They have agreed to buy Aetna in a $69 billion. That's billion with a B.
Where did they get that much money?
I'm not sure.
CVS, you get 20% off. The coupon comes to your house all the time, and there's nobody at the counter. Yeah. Where is their money coming in from?
I guess they're doing quite well. They have 9,700 pharmacies, so they've got a lot of stores there. I mean, you can't drive a block without saying, oh, there's another CVS right there.
You know what CVS stands for?
Convenience Value Store.
Consumer Value
Whatever,
Store.
Whatever, I got it right.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got it right.
Like I said,
I
Convenience Value what Store.
They say, let me go through this again. You cannot check out at the CVS.
No.
You can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave.
But you know the...
You can't leave.
You know the trick there.
What?
Just go back to the pharmacy and pay there. That's the game.
Well, I never did that.
Just
well,
go back to the pharmacy. There's never
Chris,
a line
I'm surprised
there.
You don't know
this. Anybody here? Do you have a bell?
Generally, the people at the line at the pharmacy are all coughing and deathly ill. Yeah. And you don't
that
do
is
it.
Disgusting. Yeah. And I do tell my kids not to come near them.
What they say about this, Tony, is that it's going to sort of merge the healthcare industry with the pharmacy so that you can go to the pharmacy as sort of a medical care place. And that should make medical attention much more available.
So if you get a gunshot wound, you go to the CVS?
Something, no, not something serious like that, but like what? Aftercare and things like that.
I don't want sick people near me.
Can I ask a question about that? I've contemplated this repeatedly, and I do want to know the social acceptability of it. Can I wear a mask in public?
What do you mean? Like a
surgical mask? Like a surgical mask.
Yeah. Is that weird? Do that.
Yes. But would you judge me if you saw me coming out?
It's weird, but a lot of people do it. I see people walking with those all the time.
I'm thinking of doing it.
I think it's okay if in one of your hands you're carrying a bottle of Malibu.
That's classy.
Seriously, CVS has this kind of money.
$69 crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do Old Guy Radio. Paul Feinbaum will join us, and we will ask him to definitively explain why it's Alabama and why it's not Ohio State. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. We all have the Harry's razors. We all use the Harry's razors. We all like the Harry's razors. You already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's is a company that guys love. Over 3 million guys have switched. Count the guys in this. It's a drinking game. It's a practical gift he'll get a lot of use of. You can personalize it to make him feel special. You can choose a color that's right for him. Now with limited edition holiday colors, custom gift sets that fit his specific needs, even a box for guys that already use Harry's. Personal engraving options as well. This holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition saving sets that make perfect gifts. The gift sets were built with your guy in mind, so you know he'll love them. That's four drinks.
My guy is Nigel.
Sets come with German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, a foaming gel that smells amazing, special limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. You can personalize it with engraving. No matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. Gift sets start at just $10. They even have great stocking stuffers. Get something for yourself as well. And as a special offer for fans of this particular high-quality podcast, we have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you go to harrys.com/TonyK. The offer only available for the holidays. Which holidays? These holidays? There's holidays all year long.
Flag
Day. There's
right.
Easter. There's everything. There's, you know, for people on my side of the street, Tisha B'Av. I mean, do you get a gift set for that?
That's Arbor a huge Day. One in my
this
family.
This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Good line. Get your holiday shopping done early. Take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK right now. That's Harry's.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. It's one of the biggest hits the Byrds ever had. Turn, 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 BYRDS. This was number one 52 years ago in 1965. I remember this well. Love the Byrds. Love the fact that Jim McGinn changed his name to Roger because he thought that would make more sense in some sort of weird thing he was doing. What do you got?
I was unaware that, and I should have known this. This was this is an original Pete Seeger song.
Yes, from the Book of Ecclesiastes.
Yes, exactly. An original. The song was released in '62 as "To Everything There Is a Season."
Yeah.
So,
but this is much better.
This version of it.
This is
so
much
better. Yes.
With the 12-string Rickenbacker guitar.
So good.
That McGinn played, and Gene Clark, and David Crosby, and I don't know who else was in the Byrds. They were great. They were very, very, very great. Paul Feinbaum joins us now to explain why Alabama was picked over Ohio State. And in terms of introducing Paul, let me just say that on a consistent basis, day after day after day after day, Paul Feinbaum's show is the best thing on ESPN. I mean, it's really, really good. The best thing that ESPN does, in my opinion, of all the sports, is college football. And Paul, your stuff, and everybody else's too on college football is really the best. And so let me get to this, because for many, many years before ESPN, you made a living on radio, and you were known as knowing more about the SEC than anybody in the country. Do you agree with the choice? I got this wrong. I thought they'd pick Ohio State. Do you agree, and can you explain to me why they picked Alabama?
Well, first of all, Tony, thank you so much for saying that. I do agree with the decision, and I thought it was going to be Ohio State, too. I thought it would be Ohio State because I this committee, which never makes any sense at all, I believe would cater to Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, and would not want two teams from the same region, the same conference, and would just simply go with Ohio State because it fits some criterion. In the end, I think Alabama is one of the four best teams. They are not great. This is not a vintage Nick Saban team, but it's still better than Ohio State. And I think the final determination, well, two things. It was the 31-point loss at Iowa.
Right.
It was the just pathetic way that Ohio State finished that game. Had they beaten Wisconsin, which is not a good team in my mind, I think they would finish fourth in the SEC. If they had beaten Wisconsin 35-10 and looked good, I think it would have been an easier choice. But they limped home and against a very slow team that was unimpressive, that really had a bunch of make-believe wins. I mean, Tony, I know you don't have patience for when this guy comes out on Tuesday night and starts talking about, you know, they got four wins in the top 50. Who cares about the top 50? I mean, I want to know what you do with big-time teams. And Ohio State had big wins, but Alabama had a big win on the first night of the season that they never got credit for. They beat the number three team in the country in Florida State, and they knocked their quarterback out for the year, and the team fell apart.
Let me get to the pushback that two of the reasons that I thought it would be Ohio State. The early reason is the geographic cluster of three southern teams, and I thought they'd want an upper Midwest team where great football is played. If the SEC, we could agree, is the number one conference, I think we could agree that the Big Ten is traditionally the number two conference. That's one reason. The second is this means for the second year in a row, the Big Ten champion is not in the playoff. Is that the road you want to walk down?
Well, one thing is, let me answer a couple of different ways. First of all, if you put Ohio State in, and this shouldn't be a criterion, but you had another Clemson Ohio State game last year, Tony, it was 31-0.
Disaster.
This year, it would have been 31-0. And right. I think that scared some people.
Okay.
I know it would scare some of our bosses. But the other side of it is right. I mean, you could have a Clemson-Georgia national championship. Tony, you drive between – I mean, if you want to go between those two, you drive and it'll take you about 80 minutes. I mean, that is a regional game.
Yes.
That you may see on the first Saturday night of the season that really doesn't excite anybody outside of South Carolina or Georgia. That's why I like these. You know, as much as I hate these guys, I like them because they were willing to get outside of the box, outside of the norm. And I think the only thing I don't like about this committee, I don't like 4 months of conversation about the metrics that they use when obviously they don't use them when it comes down to the final choice.
No, you're 100% right. I'm wondering if in that room, and I'm not in the room, I don't know what goes on there, if they ever considered USC just to get rid of Saban and Meyer. just to say, let's get rid of these villains.
USC made a mistake. They lost a narrow game at Washington State by 3 points. They had a bunch of injuries. And then they got run by, I think, 34 or 35 to Notre Dame.
Killed.
If they had played Akron on that Saturday, they'd be in the playoff right now.
So here's another question. Who's Wilbon? We just had Wilbon on a little while ago, and he says there are a lot of coaches on that committee, and they look at tape still, and so they would see that Alabama is indeed a better team than Ohio State. Who's on that committee? Who runs that committee?
Well, Barry Alvarez did run it, but he's no longer on it. So, I mean, the coaches are Ty Willingham, Bobby Johnson, who used to be at Vanderbilt. Remember, he got big controversy. He wouldn't let his team curse.
Yes, I remember him.
Trust him, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I trust him on the committee.
Yeah.
And Frank Beaver.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think there may be another committee. There frankly should be more coaches. I mean, you got to do these wonkish athletic directors. And by the way, you had the Clemson athletic director and the Ohio State athletic director. Can you imagine, you know, Gene Smith, the Ohio State guy, sitting outside the room? That's another reason why I was afraid they would put Ohio State in, because of cronyism, and it would have been a controversy whether it was justified or not. So I give these people credit. You know, Condi Rice was on there. She moved off. So at least you knew you had a diplomat in the room.
So you are convinced that Alabama is a better team than Ohio State. Do you think, for purposes of television, do you think Alabama is a bigger draw than Ohio State?
I think they're pretty equal. Birmingham is the biggest college football market in the country, Tony. But by the way, I mean, if you even if you do a 54 share in Birmingham, it really doesn't help you very much because Birmingham's not very big.
Right.
Columbus, Ohio is one of the five biggest markets as well. So, yeah, I mean, the ideal matchup for the national championship would be Alabama, Ohio State, FC, Alabama. But, you know, it's not ideal to have Georgia, Clemson, or even – how about this? How about Georgia and Alabama? You think the country would be excited about that?
No, but I also do think that because it's the championship and it is the Super Bowl equivalent in college football, and I think college football touches more people than almost anything else. And I mean, I think it'll do well. I also wondered, Paul, you talked about the fact that Ohio State was run last year, terribly so. I think that – do you think they sat there and said, look, we know we're putting this team fourth. We know they're going against Clemson. Let's do it again with Alabama because those are usually good games.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Now, I was up in Bristol yesterday and ran into Herb Street, and he said, I don't want Ohio State in. I mean, he went to Ohio State because he knows what would happen against Clemson. So yeah. You wonder if somebody on that committee had the same thought. As far as Alabama and Clemson, the last two championships have been epic. Now, again,
yes. Last year's game was spectacular. It really was.
It was. But hey, don't forget the year before, Saban was on the ropes and he tried an onside kick, and he pulled it off, and that saved the game for them. So yeah, and there's some interesting storylines. But you know, in the end, college football I think has a problem television wise because it runs right into the NFL. The playoffs are usually coming out of wild card weekend this year. The national championship game is coming out of wild card weekend. So you lose a couple of days. So, but there's nowhere to go. I don't know what college football, and I think that does affect ratings. I mean, the ratings are good, but they could be better.
Well, but as you say, that people are concentrating on the NFL. Are you, here's the other sort of overarching question here. In your mind, are these the four best teams in the country?
I think they are.
So you think Georgia? You think Georgia is one of the four?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is a really dangerous team defensively. I mean, they will kill you, and I think that could be the difference playing Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma. No, I mean, SC's not far, but I mean, if Wisconsin had gotten in, it would have been laughable.
Okay.
But. I mean, just absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Big Ten championship game. I mean, these guys were so slow, Tony. I mean, I felt like I could outrun some of their defenders. But that's what happens, though. I mean, that's all. Wisconsin looks like that all the time. But I do, and I'm not. Listen, you know me. I'm not one to say, hey, you guys did a good job if you did a lousy job. But I think they did a good job.
Okay. All right. Let me get to something that you've had to talk about for about 10 days now. Your alma mater, the University of Tennessee, and just the cesspool that it has become, looking for this coach and the mob rule that showed itself when they couldn't get Greg Schiano. What happens there? Is everybody relieved that it's Philip Fulmer? What happens?
Well, what happened was really one of the most disgusting things I have ever seen is that, you know, they were about to hire Schiano, who was a third or fourth choice. Dan Mullen played them for a couple of days and then went to Florida when Scott Frost and Chip Kelly blew Florida off. And the idea of people going on the internet, and I'm not talking about anonymous people, I'm talking about, you know, bloggers, people that have followings, Tony, and propagated the fact that he took part in the Sandusky thing. And then what happened, then you had politicians who didn't know anything. They were reading Twitter and calling the president of the school saying, we can't have this guy associated. We can't have child molesters associated with our program. And they backed down. And once they backed down, I think every college coach in America realized how spineless this university is. Yes, it is my alma mater. And by backing away from Schiano, who's not a perfect coach, he wouldn't have been my choice, but he's better than a lot of the people they've offered the job to since.
I'm stunned by all of it. I don't know who is going to take that job. I did want to ask you about Scott Frost. I guess he has to take the job at Nebraska, right? He has to.
Yeah, no, he's going there. And it's listen, Tom Osborne, I think, called him home, and it's hard to turn down your old coach. And I think it was a good move for him. There's no expectations at Nebraska. This is a school that fired Frank Solich about 15 years ago because he couldn't win 10 games. Right now, I mean, winning 8 is considered a they'll give you a parade in downtown Lincoln for that. That program is so bad.
Yeah, and the Mullen hire makes sense to me. The Kelly hire makes sense to me. My eyebrows were raised that Jimbo Fisher left Florida State to go to Texas A&M. I guess it's something other than the money? Because what else could it be?
No, I think it played out. Jimbo can be annoying, and I think he finally played the university, and the relationship was breaking down. He also went through a divorce. I think he just needed a change. He came within a minute of taking the LSU job 2 years ago.
Yeah,
which was frankly probably an easier job than he was there under Saban. But yeah, you know, these guys in Texas they threw $7.5 million a year. And by the way, Tony, $7.5 million in Texas plus, you know, I mean, he showed up in a G5. Okay.
No. Okay.
I mean, you know, just a King Air wasn't good enough to fly from Tallahassee to College Station. I mean, he could have that plane was so big he could have taken it to the moon.
By the way, to Paul's point, somebody on Twitter had a picture of Jimbo getting off the plane and said, "If you knew nothing of the context, this would look like a small country's dictator landing somewhere."
So, yeah. Okay. All right, Paul. So kind of you to be on. Thank you very, very much.
The pleasure was mine, Tony. Anytime.
Paul Feinbaum, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with email and jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
It takes two to make a beef pot pie.
It takes two to make good pad thai.
I want to cook right now. I'm Ron Burke and I just don't know how. But outside the cold autumn wind blows, and I feel like I should boil and roast.
Yeah, me so stupid, me your major. People only cook when the weather's heinous. Making dinner is in your future. It's genetically embedded in your medulla. So grab your lady, one of the boys. Gotta have someone to watch that broiler.
Or saute the peppers and yolks. Season with thyme and oregano like Satchmo does.
Just insane.
To make
this is Jason Fuse, a.k.a. the Rhymestone Cowboy, Luke Overby, a.k.a. Dr. Mystery, and me, Robert Berg, a.k.a. MC Rojay Berlin. Happy cooking to you and yours. It takes two people to make Blue Apron. It takes three to make that song.
Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock with the original there. It takes two.
And really not a lot of songs you get the word medulla in.
No,
there.
Yes. No.
Rhyming medulla.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Wilbon for coming on the show today and Feinbaum for coming on the show today. Thank our sponsors today, Harry's Razors, Blue Apron, and Honey. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Dennis McCann in Bayfield, Wisconsin. Sorry to hear that you and Michael were disappointed not to see the flock of Irish black-faced sheep when you played at Whistling Straits. We played the Irish course. They put them out on the Irish course, not on the Straits course, and we didn't get them. A friend had quite the opposite experience some years ago when he was playing at the resort. It was on a day when Pete Dye, who designed all of Herb Kohler's courses, was also on site, accompanied as usual by his dog, 60. 60, being a good dog, did see the flock of sheep and, being a dog, promptly cut one from the flock and chased it straight into Lake Michigan. Being a sheep, it didn't go well. It swam out a ways, but maybe because its wool got wet and heavy, suddenly sank from sight.
Uh-oh.
60 swam a few circles around the spot where the sheep had disappeared, but when it didn't surface, he returned to shore, his work done for the day. That's the way my friend saw it, and he promptly wrote it for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Dye's story was different. He told Kohler the sheep had gone in on its own, and 60 went out trying desperately to save it. It must be hard to tell a billionaire your mongrel dog just drowned one of his sheep. I mean, I hate to laugh at the misfortune of the sheep,
yeah,
but
that's
a dog being a dog. That's how way it works.
Dog being a dog.
Jordan Beasley in Berkeley, California. I have to ask, what was your predominant emotion Sunday. Joy that Urban Meyer had been left out of the college playoff, or revulsion that Nick Saban had found his way in.
Yeah.
I think it's a good day for America when they lose. I mean, they are Saban more than Meyer, but Meyer to a large degree. They are so dismissive and smug about the press and about fans and about everything other than themselves. But they're both, they're one and two.
Yes.
Yep.
They're both Meyer's two and Saban's one.
How many has Meyer won? He's won three?
Meyer has won in two different schools. Saban has won in two different schools, and Saban's won more than Meyer. You can't, you got to admit it. Justin Johnson from Arlington, Virginia. I like CNN following Red Zone's lead by introducing the Octobox when bringing everyone they possibly could to discuss important political topics. I also like them following Red Zone's lead and not featuring Chris Zelizza at
all.
Wow.
I somehow didn't make it in the top eight.
From Albert Chan in Aurora, Ontario, for our Canadian friends who are here. In yesterday's episode, Fridays, I assume, you mentioned that you got a cough after long segments on your podcast. As a doctor, have you ever thought of prescribing yourself Meldonium? Ooh. Perhaps Maria Sharapova can send you a box of that.
Nice to have some.
From
of that.
Steve York in Newport News, Virginia. I cannot take credit for this, but it is worth repeating. It's from Peter Segal or Segal on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Peter Segal, yeah.
Okay, I don't know
Segal,
him.
Segal?
I,
believe,
yes. I like Segal.
Quote, baby Steven sausage Segal. Jesus, the least kosher food ever. From Scott V in Chicago, Illinois. I was the fan who paid tribute to the show with the book intended for Salivza on all the obscure medical ways you could
yes,
die.
Yes, I have that book. I have.
Anyway,
I
had an interesting Friday at work that started with an at-the-time bright idea. For a couple of months, with the weekly interruption of the infamous leaf blower and the overreaction it caused Nigel, I thought of a funny prank to pull on the gang and escalate the situation further. The idea was to call a nearby landscaping company and hire a fleet of leaf blowers to come to chatter and cause a ruckus outside during the show. In my head, it would almost be like a Leslie Nielsen Naked Gun movie situation. I did a little research. I found a nearby company. I called them up. I introduced myself and I asked this man, do you know of the Tony Kornheiser show? With a very long pause, he replied, I think I've heard of him before, which I interpreted as a loud no. I should have hung up then, but against my better judgment, I proceeded to try and explain multiple times the situation of the leaf blower, who interrupts the show on Thursdays, and how I thought it would be funny if he could produce an army of leaf blowers to come back and interrupt the show. When he again took an obscenely long time to respond and say he was not interested, I snap back to reality, start to sweat profusely with embarrassment, and realize how dumb the situation was and how only loyal littles would think of this during the low moments of their days. Maybe I would have had a chance if he was a fellow little, but I was doomed from the beginning. Thank you for everything you guys do, and of course, watch your backs for any other pranks. Don't want leaf blowers.
No, not an army.
Want camels.
Nigel might have a legit heart attack.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thanks so much for coming.
You know what ought to happen to them?
What?
They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
can be crushed and left behind. The time will come to satiate. Just baby. Turn off your old design. Keep your hands on the table. I am the corner of your crooked smile. The muscle memory of your mind's eye. Shadow on your sunny day. What do you think of as you walk away? of dimming lights, changing minds like firecrackers.